Hey, it's Shannon from iHeartRadio Canada, joined by Dr. Jacqueline Marie Maurice from the 60 Scoop Healing Foundation. Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, congratulations on becoming CEO of the 60 Scoop Healing Foundation.
It's a real honor, and it's really a sacred position. And I feel blessed to be entrusted with story and with entrusted in going forward as we realize our mission and our vision. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. For those who are unaware, are you able to explain a little bit about what the 60 Scoop is?
Great. Yeah. Well, the 60 Scoop, really the child welfare era came into being as the residential school era wound down. And what happened, I guess if you were to look at it through the government of the time, it was their understanding that we had residential school survivors, really, who hadn't been parented or brought up within their family and extended families, and that there needed to be an intervention, if you will, that parents weren't able to parent their children. And thus, you had the startup of Indigenous child welfare, as in the government having full authority and a mandated a mandated policy in going forward. And so what happened, I'll give you more of a concrete example here. So for example, in Saskatchewan, where I'm based, we had the Adopt Indian Métis program, and there was a high percentage of Indigenous, and by Indigenous, I mean First Nations, Inuit, Métis, non-status and status Indigenous children in the care of the system. So provincially, the Adopt Indian Métis program was set up to respond to the high number of children in care. And across Canada, provinces had a similar program in place. And yet when you have your Indigenous children in care, for those that are status Indigenous, it was the federal government's responsibility. And then that's where you see like some of the phenomenal work of Cindy Blackstock, who has really, you know, launched a class action lawsuit against the federal government, because a lot of status Indian or Indigenous children, their needs were not, you know, taken care of. And plus there was a, it was not a seamless range of services, let's just say that, for Indigenous children. It was a two-tiered system. But what happened then, really during the height of the 60s scoop, it's estimated that there were near 20,000 Indigenous children in the care of the system or who have been impacted by the 60s scoop. And the longer I'm around and I listen to stories, I believe it's anywhere near 25,000, if not near 30,000 Indigenous children who were really impacted by the 60s scoop. And the 60s scoop, yes, it started up in the late 1950s, early 1960s, but it went till about the mid 1980s. And then the question, you know, becomes what happened then? And really, there are still, if you look at some of these statistics, there is still a high percentage of Indigenous children in the care of the system. And so now we have a millennium scoop, if you will.
Right. Yeah. So the millennium scoop is just the fact that this has still continued on, right?
Yes, correct. And, you know, it's always the ideal notion to have change, you know, at, you know, the local level, at the regional level and federally, but change is very slow. And unfortunately, there are still a lot of children, and a lot of our lost children in the care of the child welfare system.
Right. So what is the main goal then for the 60 Scoop Foundation?
Well, this is great. What a great opportunity in history now as we go forward. So the 60 Scoop Healing Foundation was set up for survivors by survivors. And what that meant is one of our goals is to journey and accompany survivors, 60 Scoop survivors, their family members and descendants as they step into a healing journey. And of course, then, you know, the question becomes, how do we do that? And certainly it's through cultural reclamation. Loss of culture was huge, certainly during the residential school era, and that was a continuity of loss during the height of the 60s scoop, and also reunification, also through advocacy. That's how we will accompany 60s scoop survivors along their healing journey, and also commemoration, as well as education. And when we look at commemoration, And we can think about like our National Day of Reconciliation coming up on Thursday. So commemoration doesn't always have to be in the sense of a healing foundation. I want to extend the challenge or the invitation to all Canadians. Commemoration can also be on a small scale as it relates to understanding Indigenous, you know, storytelling and truth telling as it relates to the 60s scoop. It can be building those relations with our Indigenous and non-Indigenous community members, family members, and even organizations, you know, in terms of coming together on common ground and creating that trust relationship. So commemoration is a big part. And excitingly, you know, how else can it be done? It's also through holistic health and healing programs and services. And what's really exciting is as we speak, we have the opportunity now for a grant process that is getting ready to roll out for health, healing, and wellness services for the first time in history, specific for 60 Scoop survivors, their family members, and descendants. So it's quite an exciting time because before that, I'll give you an example, probably about, let's just even say 4 or 5 years ago when I would go to from Saskatoon and have an invitation to do a keynote presentation in Winnipeg, for example. A lot of times, you know, it was a wonderful experience, but I would be driving back from Saskatoon and, you know, not reliving, but certainly reflecting on my lived experience as a 60 Scoop survivor and have just feeling very raw and real and not having any supports or services or place or even a support circle or sharing circle in terms of other survivors that I could turn to. So this really is monumental and an exciting time as we start up with our Healing Foundation.
Totally. Why is it so important for the foundation to have the focus of survivors helping other survivors?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, if you look at some of the most successful models in society, like even a 12-step model, there's such merit in having that lived experience, strength, and hope, as well as visioning, envisioning, and moving forward in a good way amongst one survivor with another. And because we've lived it, we've been through it, we can understand and have that ultimate compassion and empathy in terms of what it's like to endure losses, what it's like to endure multiple traumas, and unfortunately, not only one trauma, but multiple traumas, and what it's like to endure and to heal through various types of abuse, and what it's like also to survive and, you know, be where we're at today, because not every story as it relates to reunification with your biological family is a happily ever after story. So we bring that in-depth compassion and understanding because we've been there and we know the, you know, the extent of the impacts of the 60 Scoop practice and policy implementation.
Nice. So what does the foundation do? Like, what is, can you give me an example of like how it would help a particular person, or is it unique to each individual person?
Yeah. Well, the 60 Scoop Healing Foundation pretty much is as new as I am, and I just started into my fourth week. And so our first success marker will be the creation and implementations of a grant process that will allow communities to have health, healing, and wellness programs and services. So that's really exciting. And that extends to Indigenous, into Métis communities, into Inuit communities. So that's certainly one of our success markers. We also are looking at how we can create awareness and understanding, not only within our own Indigenous communities, but also with Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities and organizations as it relates to truly having reconciliation and having dialogue and discussion about how, if you will, we can prevent another scoop or end our millennium scoop from happening, you know. So that's also another success marker. And importantly, as well as the awareness and education and the advocacy, is really to know that the 60 Scoop Healing Foundation, that we are a charitable organization. So certainly building key relationships and partnerships as it relates to donations and in-kind donations, as well as charitable donations, to know that we are registered and we also have that ability too. But it's just so exciting, because at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, as we accompany 60 Scoop survivors and their family members and allies in healing, you know, if we just reach one 60 Scoop survivor in terms of their hearing that they are no longer alone, then to me, that is a success marker. There is hope.
Yeah, definitely. What can someone like myself do in order to help?
Well, that's a really good question. And certainly what you're doing today, this is really powerful, creating this conversation and having this dialogue. And then hopefully the listeners can reflect and say, yeah, what can I do also, right? Yeah, the millions of people that live in Toronto. Of course, I did my studies in Toronto, so I'm quite familiar with the GTA, if you will. And then importantly, you know, if you see within your family or your community that you want to make a contribution, then you can go to our 60 Scoop Healing Foundation website. And whether that's in kind or monetary, or maybe it's also helping to facilitate storing and retaining these stories, because that's huge too as we go forward. And really for you, what, again, I can't emphasize enough, but you know, having compassion and understanding, providing a listening ear, if you will, for truth telling and storytelling as it relates to 60 Scoop survivors is huge. It may not feel like it, maybe from where you're sitting or where I'm sitting, but it will have a ripple effect. And what I mean by that is, one of my main messages, we've talked a bit about the vision as we go forward with Scoop survivors in their healing journey. For me, the transition, or the another success marker as you and I continue with the work that we're doing, is moving from a place of intergenerational trauma into intergenerational healing. And what a beautiful ripple effect, just by putting that vision out there, you know, what a great ripple effect that creates also. And there are 60 Scoop survivors, and as well as Millennium Scoop survivors, who are making a difference as we speak today. They're giving voice, they're sharing their truth and their story, and they're educating their colleagues, whether it's at an Indigenous or a non-Indigenous university, they're also healing themselves, but healing their family and their communities, because we know the healing of one is the healing of all.
Wow, so well said. Thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time to answer the questions and do all that you do. It's very inspiring.
May I, Shannon, just add one little thing?
Of course,
you know,
please.
As we end here, my apologies for taking your time.
No,
but
no.
I want our audience to know, because I know for a fact that there are 60 Scoop survivors and family members within the GTA area,
yes,
and as well as throughout Canada and globally, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to rearticulate, you know, first and foremost, I would like to express a warm welcome to all 60 Scoop survivors, their families, and their descendants who are on this amazing healing journey. And I do want to rearticulate, as you had asked me earlier, it's with humility and gratitude that I look forward to serving the 60 Scoop Healing Foundation as the inaugural Chief Executive Officer. And it's so exciting for me just to say that. I feel like I'm living the dream, but I haven't realized the dream yet, because I came from a place of nowhere and being a nobody's child and having no connections or really any belief in myself. So it's such a blessing, if I can even say that or articulate it with the with the excitement and the humility. And I want to say, you know, as I just mentioned, I too am a 60 Scoop survivor with lived experiences, and hopefully today with strength, hope, and courage, as well as vision, and that I will continue to accompany survivors on their journey. But importantly, Shannon, I just want to leave my prayer and my vision. And again, at the beginning of my day and at the end of my day, this is my vision for all 60 Scoop survivors and allies in healing, Indigenous and non-Indigenous allies in healing. My work is dedicated to the lost children who are beginning and continuing their journey home. For those who have not yet found their voices, their stories, their belonging, their identity and relations. May our lost children find their own strength, courage, and voice within. May they find love, peace, and contentment. May our lost children trust their deep intuitive knowing and hear the voice, guidance, and teachings of our ancestors so that they may never need to walk alone. Miigwech, and thank you from the bottom of my heart. Miigwech.
Thank you so much. Wow. Thank you. That's incredible. I appreciate you taking the time. I really do. It's very eye-opening.
And I'm humbled. Thank you. And thank you for being one of those instrumental people to create this dialogue, especially as we approach our National Day of Reconciliation. Reconciliation is for all, not just for one.
Right. Amazing.